If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
There were two significant sporting events that took place in the greater New York City area on Thursday night, August 21st. The one that really mattered involved your Boston Red Sox taking down the evil empire 6-3 as the Roman Empire, absolutely crapped all over one in the ninth, jacking it out to right for his first home run in his first game in the Bronx. The other one involved the Patriots playing a thoroughly meaningless football game in North Jersey, losing by a score of 42-10, and nobody really cared. God bless each and every one of you that's awake as we record this live Six Rings and Football Things recap of a thoroughly useless pretend season game. Thank God that game is over. Thank God the preseason is over. And thank God this episode will be over in just a few minutes. Here we go. Six Rings recap of the preseason finale in Jersey. Hit the pre-recorded stuff, guy.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Grover. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
I think it's a command. I think it's a new system, and him being able to, you know, have command of what we're doing and operate and leadership. We're going to continue to really work on that and make sure that he has some attention getting moments.
That was Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel walking off the field at halftime when the game was yet out of hand. Not again that it really mattered much. Talking about the leadership that's been evolving for Drake May and how he plans on helping him assert himself as a leader, as the guy in charge, as the most important Patriot on the field in Foxborough, as, yes, the regular season, the football that matters, will begin in just a few short weeks. What's up, everybody, as we record this late-night Six Rings recap of the Patriots preseason finale, your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens coming to you on the Fitzy GFY and WEEI socials. And thank you, of course, to everybody who watches live and downloads and tunes into each and every Six Rings and Football Things episode. Of course, you can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Pods. We're on the Odyssey app. We're on the iHeart app. You can get us at WEEI.com and everywhere in between. The final was 42-10. Once again, it didn't really matter. I got to say, quite honestly, as far as preseason finales go, I've watched dozens of Game 4s back when there were four preseason games. I've watched pretty much, let's see, this is the fifth year of there being 17 regular season games and three pretend season games. I've watched all the third pretend season game finales. This was the lousiest by far I think I've ever seen. I'll be honest, I paid much more attention when I had the split screen action going on tonight to the Red Sox game because that was more entertaining and more consequential. However, we do have to watch these games because technically it is the battle for positions 50, 51, 52, 53 probably on the Patriots' active 53-man roster. And I got to say, if it's up to Mike Vrabel, Ryan Cowden, Elliot Wolf, who I'll never forgive for not drafting Ladd McConkey and instead taking Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and whoever the hell that cornerback is that the Chargers got at pick 137, who had four picks, and McConkey was a stud last year, and now Jalen Polk is down for the season with shoulder surgery. Whoever it is that's going to help assemble the 53-person Voltron that will be the New England Patriots 2025. If it came down to tonight to figure out who you like, who's an impact player, and who you're going to need, then man, oh man, do you have to go back to the drawing board or the proverbial dry erase and figure some shit out, because I couldn't tell you who belonged and who didn't belong. It did not seem like anybody gave a flying Foxborough out there on the field tonight. Was there effort? Sure. Did everybody approach the game like they kind of knew no one wanted to be there? especially considering they had a joint practice a week and a half ago, highly contested in Minnesota, followed by a game last Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock at US Bank Stadium. Yeah, it kind of looked like everyone treated it like a meaningless Thursday night football game. And as it is, Thursday night football games are treated quite differently than your standard issue Sunday NFL affairs. So this had everything going for it, or rather everything going against it possibly. And it was a mess. I gotta be honest. Like, I was more interested in the Cracker Barrel rebrand today than I was in watching this Patriots game. And I was right. I feel validated for my lack of faith or interest in the game as well. Yes, Jeremiah Webb caught a spectacular 10-yard touchdown from the dridge from Ben Woolridge in the end zone. Great. Not going to make the team. Not going to be an impact guy whatsoever. Poor Javon Baker. I think I had the popcorn ready for over a year and a half now. I was ready to stand up in whatever chair or sofa or wherever I happened to be seated. I think that's coming to an end. Old pal Gunnar Olszewski provided one of the only highlights of the night as Jackson Dart zipped him one on a rollout. Jackson Dart looks pretty good, although I do have to say I found this clip interesting. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the game was on Amazon, and Amazon brought all the electricity of Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's 1 or 2, depending on which one of your favorites you happen to keep near and dear to your 1980s heart. Ryan Fitzpatrick, though, caught with a hot mic during a rehearsal clip on Amazon, doesn't seem like he's the biggest Jackson Dart fan.
You've seen from Jackson Dart that you like?
From Jake?
From Jake from State Farm.
Jake? Yeah, from Jackson Dart, it's exciting. He's got leadership, he's got intelligence, and he's got moxie, which is a fun thing. I don't like his release. I think it's slow. He dances like Drew Locke. Not a huge fan. I don't think Giants fans should be excited at all.
Okay, we'll definitely say that on air. On the other side, Drake May started the final.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right. Well, there you go, Giants fans. You should be excited about that. Just like I'm sure you were as excited when you watched a beautiful Jameis Winston touchdown on a fade to Jalin Hyatt in the end zone, followed up by an inexplicably horrendous throw to no Giants receiver where the only human being within 15 yards of other people was Kyle Duggar, who picked the ball off. And this time, when snagging it in the end zone, just ran out of bounds like he should have, grounding the ball, taking it back for a touchback. Look, I don't know what we can truly divine from tonight's game. It was really exactly. Here we go. Here's my favorite comment thus far. Mike Dickinson watching live right now on Facebook. That game was so bad, I actually watched the Red Sox. That's exactly what you were supposed to do. Good job, buddy. This is supposed to be about the Pats, but can we just talk about Roman Anthony? All people want to do is talk about the Red Sox tonight. Because Jeff Stenberg, one of our favorites, watching live. Fitzy looks sober this late at night. I hate it. Hey, it's my job. Come on, guy. I'll cry. I got a freshie waiting for me right afterwards. Don't you worry about it. Plus, I'm getting ready. I'm hydrating for my trip down to Tampa to hang with you this November, buddy. Can we all agree Kyle Duggar is done? He was playing in the third quarter. Yeah, this is two games in a row that Kyle Duggar played in. That is never a good sign for a six-year veteran on the second year of a four-year, $60 million deal. We can all agree he's also wildly overpaid, but that's not his fault. Elliott Wolf made a panic signing last year when nobody wanted to come to the Patriots and he couldn't hire any proper coaches, and the team was a disaster worthy of winning zero games last year. How they won four, and they shouldn't have won the fourth, and we all know that. Is beyond me, but you know, Kyle Duggar almost feels like he's being punished for being the guy that said yes to a giant contract that he wasn't worthy of. Should he be paid $8 million a year? I mean, I in this economy, that seems like an appropriate salary for a player of his talents and merit, but not $15 million a season. But are the Patriots actually going to be a better team without him? I especially considering the hit that they're going to carry. It's going to be like $15 million in dead cap money just to not have Kyle Duggar on your team when he's not a locker room problem, when he's not a clubhouse cancer, when nobody accuses the guy of being a bad teammate. You know, I don't quite understand that one. And I think Anfernee Jennings is just a solid football player. Is he spectacular, sexy, a showman, a highlight machine? No, not really. But like, don't you need guys that can just sort of play fundamentally sound linebacker slash edge and occasionally rush the passer, set a decent edge as well? Like, again, I just show me on the field where you're that much better of a team without Jennings and Duggar. That's just me. Maybe there's a little old school. Maybe there's a little Belichick boomerism coming out for me right now. I don't know. Maybe we should ask Jordan. We'll see what she thinks about all of them. Here we go right here. Ben Grehan watching live on Twitter right now as we record a post pretend season game 3, Six Rings podcast. Patriots lose 42-10. Oh no, whatever will we do? I watched three quarters and now I wish I had just watched the Sox game. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, see, here's one fan, Matt Savory, watching live on Facebook. Duggar was the lone bright spot. He actually kind of deserves a spot on the roster. Yeah, you know, see, I think this is a problem. Should we be more excited about Drake May or Roman Anthony? Roman Anthony. Again, I've gone on the record. I'll say it again. I think you're not going to be able to judge Drake May in full as far as his sophomore season until after he completes his rookie season. And that's why I say wait till mid to late October until you weigh in with how you think Drake May is doing this year in adapting to Mike Vrabel's coaching style, in understanding Josh McDaniels' offense, in trying to survive behind the line that's going to probably start two rookies on the left, a brand new center, and a brand new right tackle. 4 out of 5 dentists recommend you revamp this offensive line. And 4 out of 5 people on the offensive line are going to be new from last year as well. Give this kid some time. You know, people have talked about that shit being calculus with the McDaniels offense. Maybe it is to him, maybe it's not. We all know he's got a legendarily Texas Instruments calculator style processor. It's lightning fast. But it's going to take a while. He's got all these new receivers he's got to get used to, new running backs behind him. Travion, thank God he enjoyed tonight's game like the rest of us did, sitting down in comfortable clothes and not giving a shit. But man, you got to wait for Drake on this one. Like, you've heard from people like Julian Edelman and other former players as well. Like, let's not just anoint him Josh Allen 2.0 or, you know, the AFC's Jaden Daniels this season. It's going to take a while. I mean, he's 22? He just got married to his child bride. The guy barely is old enough to graduate from college. He started half as many games as Jaden Daniels has in college. Not even as many. Bo Nix is like 40, for Christ's sakes. Wait, please. I preach patience when it comes to Drake May and what your expectations are of him this season, at least. Maybe he'll be better entirely, far more dynamic and in complete control of his own gridiron matrix next year. But I want to see him play at least 6 more games, finish what would be a full rookie season, and then get into this, then we're like almost halfway into the season. Then I think we'll start to understand exactly how well he's doing in the processing. All right, let's see what else we got going on right here. Here we go. Stenberg, Polk going down for the season makes it easier to roster Chisholm. You're almost witty. What are you going to call him? What do you mean? Are you effing Chisholming me? How much do I like this guy? I like him an F ton. I've seen people try to call him the Chiz, the Chisler, Risky Chisness. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of different nicknames for him out there, but let's go ahead and right now and say this. As we want to talk less about tonight's game and more about what we're looking forward to 2.5 weeks from now, Sunday, September 7th at the Razor, the NFL season 2025 kicks off. New England Patriots host Tom Brady's Las Vegas Raiders, 1 o'clock high. He's on the team. The Chiz made the team. Yes, 100%. He's been the most exciting player, not named Travion Henderson, on this offense all preseason long. Vrabel talks about his playing strength more often than I talk about how bad I want an Narragansett. He's in. He's on the team. Dola 2.0 is there. And I love it. And no, it's not just because, you guys in New England, you sure do like your short white receivers. Okay, maybe we do. Maybe they're just a plucky little underdog story. Maybe he's like the rest of us, a scrappy little blue-collar kid from who the hell knows where who broke all of Cooper Kupp's receiving records in college. The kid's legit. He's got the bona fides. He's going to be a good NFL player. It's not just like a fun, cute little camp story. And then he's going to turn out to be tiny Zach Sudfeld when the lights get bright and it really counts in 2.5 weeks. No, I'm a big believer. I am a big believer in Efton Chisholm the third. By the way, who Eft? There's got to be an Efton Chisholm the first and the second as well. I love that he got. Well, that's old man Chisholm's boy over there. Comes from a long line of great Chisholms. thank you very much. You deserve a spot on the active roster. Doing a live pod after a week 3 punt of a game. Matt Perrault, God bless you. I love you, pal. And you're damn right about that one. That was brutal. Now hold on a second. I watched the whole damn game and I loved it, says Ben Weaver. It's fun to watch guys try to make the team. I believe we'll be really competitive this year. I agree with one of those three sentiments, and that would be this team being fun to watch this year. Don't expect this team to be what you think they can be right when they get going. There's still so much chemistry for this team to work out. Aside from handing the ball to Travion Henderson and trying to throw short passes to Pop Douglas, Steph Diggs, Hunter Henry, and Efton Chisholm, I'm not sure exactly what this team's got worked out dynamically on offense. Now, Josh McDaniels is famous for keeping a lot of trick plays and things you didn't expect, even if you expect to see seam passes, play action, bubble screens, jet sweeps, etc. Hallmarks and tenant plays of the McDaniels offense coming right out the gate week 1 or just in general. But I don't know. Like, I mean, you've got like, this is easily the most physically talented and athletically gifted quarterback he's worked with, you know, or at least since Jimmy Garoppolo. So who else has he worked with? Castle. Look what he did with Castle. Look what he got out of Mac freaking Jones. Jacoby Brissett even for that famous game and a half. Oh, good times. Yeah, I've got my faith and belief that Josh McDaniels is the right guy for Drake May. But again, I'm preaching patience. You're going to have to lean on two things if you're expecting the Pats to be good out the gate. Wow, it's not an easy schedule. Everyone says the same thing. Everyone always says it's an easy schedule. But reality is all those guys get paid to play too, Fitzy. Yeah, you know, they spent the whole offseason trying to get ready as well. Yeah, they're improved. The schedule is not as difficult as some of the other teams that have really, really tough schedules, but it's also not quite as easy as everybody says. If the Pats finish September 2-2, great. That'll be great. And then you get Drake to 3-3 by the time we get to this end of the extended rookie season. Get the sophomore season really, really going by mid-October, I think the Pats will be just fine. But you're going to have to lean on the defense to start the season. You should have Carlton Davis healthy. I've ridden bike lanes in Boston as often as this guy has played in the preseason. Like, where has he been? I don't know what the hell is wrong with him. Christian Gonzalez should be healthy as well. Excuse me. You'll have the full comportment of the defense. You'll have Robert Spillane running around all over like an absolute psychopath. By the way, have you guys seen Robert Spillane? Tell me when you see this guy, you haven't been thrown out of at least 3 bars that Robert Spillane was the bouncer in. My God, does this guy look like he was built for Boston? Phenomenal. Just like tour manager for the Dropkick Murphys or linebacker for the New England Patriots. I don't know. Any which way. Perfect Patriot. I think he's going to be great. But you're going to have to lean on the defense, and you're going to have to lean on the running game. Will Campbell, okay in pass pro so far. He should struggle a little bit.
Sorry about that, Sling Blade. The left tackle is going to take some time to have to learn how to play as far as pass pro goes, bro.
But he can run block his ass off. Jared Wilson, a guy should be playing center. He only played 12 games in college. Now he's playing left guard as well. Garrett Bradbury is probably the same size as half of you that are in the chat right now. And then you got Morgan Moses over there, who's 34 years old, gives a great soundbite. Love the guy, mean it. But I'm not sure, is he going to be able to hold up to the rigors of a full season, considering he's as close now to AARP as he is to NCAA. See, so many questions about this team. That's what's going to make them very compelling. All right, some nicknames are coming up. There we go. Chizmania. I'm not sure I can go with that one. Thank you very much. The chiz monk people like risky chizness. Okay. Chiz bomb. I like him an F ton. I'm glad you guys like that one as well. Very good. I know Lan Larison. It's a shame that he got hurt. Any concerns about the tight ends at all? Asked Antonio Tonti. No, not really. I think Hunta and Hoopa are about as dependable as a professional mid-level service tight end gets. Like, you know what you're going to get out of each. Hooper's going to give you 35 catches for 378 yards and four touchdowns. Hunter Henry, 6,606 touchdowns. That's it. And the Westover kid who wears Gronk's number, and that number, by the way, he should probably be the last one because A, Gronk built the playground in town, and that's awesome. B, Gronk wants to do the whole one-day jersey retirement thing so that he can be retired officially, fully, and completely a Patriot, and I love it. But yeah, this Jack Westover guy is kind of playing fullback as well. Again, what you watch tonight, really, like, they just should have, like, I don't know. I mean, they got to play the game, and I don't know who won or lost a spot off of tonight's game, but, like, that's not Patriots football. That was just people wearing Pats away uniforms pretending, like, it sucked. It was lousy. You know, good for the people in North Jersey. Sorry for the reporters who had to go down there and ply their time. At least I was able to sit at home on my sofa and watch the Sox, Yanks, and the Gigantes and Patriots. But, hey, those people down there got Jackson Dart. They got famous Jameis, and they got some Tommy DeVito. Hey, yo! Let's see. Check a couple more comments. Yep, Javon Baker played like crap. I think that's it. That's a bummer, man. That kid was so good at college. I mean, I know he left Alabama for a reason. He's had maturity issues, the getting the ticket and going IG live last year, not a good look. You know, there's been maturity issues galore, everything. I've heard plenty of things behind the scenes as well, throwing footballs, being a hothead on the sidelines. But, like, he's a big guy that can win on the outside. They don't have a lot of guys like him. By the way, what the hell's going to happen to Kendrick Bourne? Can anyone tell me what's going to happen? I don't either he gets traded. I can't imagine you just flat out cut him. That just feels so inglorious for a guy that has been such a positive member of the team, the community, Pats Nation for almost a half decade now. I mean, football is a cruel business. I get it. And he's been paid plenty of money on top of it all. But I mean, I hope he gets traded someplace where he's of some use to another team, preferably like a San Francisco, maybe Washington, Dallas. I don't know. But it just feels like I can't see there's a place for him. Are they going to IR? Are they going to put him on the IR for a few weeks? And then, you know, keep him around just as like a, you know, a vibe filled insurance policy for some, I don't know. I don't get it. It's been a really weird thing. You know, for all the things that the Vrabel administration has done right thus far, that seems like a situation I'm sure that they're not even really sure that they know what to do with. Like, that'll be a curious one as cutdowns happen and you'll get your full 53 by the middle of this week. Hoopa. Yeah, Hoopa. Hoopa blocks the line, Chief. Way to go, Chad. I like that one. Baker could come back to the practice squad. I wouldn't be surprised by that one, my guy. That seems like exactly where he's got it. That's probably his best spot. I can't see another team picking him up. Give him some more time. That's not going to happen. What about, let's see, Matt Savory, Polk's gone too? No, what's going to happen is Jalen Polk, who, if you close your eyes and you just don't think about him for a second, you can pretend that you never had to spend a single freaking moment of your life worrying or regretting his football existence in New England. God, the kid was so good in the college. He's going to go on IR for the season. So now he's shelved. He's rostered elsewhere. He's in the phantom zone right now, trapped in a piece of glass floating in space, recovering from an imminent shoulder surgery. So what this means is now they can just bring him back next season. Maybe he learns the offense. Maybe he grows up. Maybe he, I don't know. That's a whole lot of maybes. He's not going to do much, but at least he'll have a chance to make the team next year and you don't have to worry about him ever again. Let's see. Last couple questions. Then we'll wrap this one up right here. Bada bing, bada boom. Realist Pats fans in the room. We're looking forward to the road games in Buffalo, Tampa, and Baltimore. Hopefully I'll be able to make it to one this season. I am planning to go to Tampa and whatever is left of my soul by that point, I imagine, will be probably spent at the dollhouse with everybody else. Oh, there's going to be cruises. The Tampa Bay Pats Club is putting on a cruise and a party. Ty Law is coming down for a big Pats rally. Oh, it's going to be absurd. It's going to be great. Yeah. See, thank you very much. Yeah, Daniel Cardwell. Preseason game with third stringers. Relax. Exactly. And I think that's actually highly complimentary that you called everyone third stringers. That was, yeah, no, that wasn't a game. That was an extended full contact look for Vrabel, Terrell Williams, Josh McDaniels, and Jeremy Springer at everyone. Just one last look, you know, on a set, like when they say, like, when everyone just gets their makeup touched up and they fix the effects and, all right, start the monster up. And we need some fog on the set over here. That's what it was. Last looks. That's really what tonight was. Just last looks. One last quick look at everyone in that they're debating if they should make the roster or not, or if they're going to be good enough for the practice squad. Tonight was last looks. It was ugly. Not a ton of fun. And also weird. Good point, Michael Peterson, watching live on Facebook right now. Didn't like seeing Keon White playing so late in the game. Yeah, that's what to make of Keon White. I'll say this. The guy has potential. The resting Belichick face, you know, bad attitude, badass on the field. That's great. But if Cincinnati calls and goes, you know what? Fine. We'll take Keon White and a third for Trey Hendrickson. I think I'm saying yes, even though I don't think Trey Hendrickson is going to be the difference between making the playoffs or not, or double digit wins or not. I'm saying yes. And I'm still not backing off. I'm taking the over on 8.5 wins this season. I think they go 9, maybe 10. We'll do our whole official Pats predictions 2025 pod coming up soon. We'll lay the lumber on all the overs, whether it's the Diggs props, the May props, the Henderson props, the Chiz props. Grilled chiz, the chism schism, all that fun stuff. Yeah, we'll do that coming up. But my confidence, my faith, my belief in this team has not been shaken by anything this week. But the last week, oh no, well, JJ McCarthy lit them up. Please come on. I do the sports radio shows on the regular. People get all gassed up and amped up, like just taking the smallest little thing and turning it into 20 minutes of talk because it's a 4-hour show every day. The reality is, they're not going to the Super Bowl, but they're not nearly as bad as anyone may have told you on the beat, on a blog, on the socials, and beyond. They're going to be good. They'll be good. Maybe sometimes great, maybe sometimes not so great. They'll make you proud. You'll have fun watching. We'll get together. We'll talk. All right. Thanks, everybody. Time for me to go grab a cold beer. There's your pretend season game finale. 42-10, Giants beat the fake third string, fourth string Patriots. And now it's cut down time. So if there's anyone you've developed a crush on, you know what? There's really, they'll make the team. All the good players are going to make the team. I don't believe there are going to be a ton of surprise cuts. And if they cut Duggar and Jennings, I think it's a mistake. I think there should be a place for them on the team for the time being. Maybe they get included in a trade for something else. If there was any way they could spin a Bourne or a Jennings or a Duggar or maybe somebody else or a combination therein into a backup left guard or a swing tackle, which the Pats so desperately need because there's only been incremental improvement thus far on the line, I'd take it. Otherwise, we'll see. All right, guys, thanks very much for tuning in. Great chatting with you on the late night. We're just a few minutes from it being Friday. I got the day off. I'm going to go jump in a lake, literally with the fam, have a couple bevs, relax, and enjoy Sox Yanks over the weekend. You guys are the best fans. Thank you once again for tuning into a live post-pretend season game number 3 edition of Six Rings and Football Things here across the WEEI and Fitzy GFY socials. Make sure you tell your friends, subscribe to an awesome season. We're going to have Vince Wilfork coming up on the pod as well. D-Mac is going to join us. We got some great live pods coming up. A couple of my favorite comics as well. Steve Sweeney, hopefully Jared Freed joins us. And then, of course, several podcasts every week. The post-game show every Sunday on WEEI. And I want you guys for each and every green, hard-fought inch and yard possible along the way. Jump in on Spotify, Apple Pods, iHeart Odyssey, and everywhere else awesome football talk can be found. Till then, good night. God bless. Go F yourselves. There's your final 42-10. The next time you see the Patriots on the field, it counts against the Raiders. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the weekend. Good day. God bless.
Go Pats.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.